Blog Talk
Hello,
Radio.
This is O5O on the radio, and this is Thursday, October 29th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and opportunity to do this show. We got the normal requisite of stuff, the World Series, otherwise known as Royal Pride, right now. Preview of Week 8 in the NFL, Week 9 in college football, all the craziness that has gone on with it. And if we get to our two-minute warning, little tribute to some legend. Anyway, we got to get to the World Series, and the Kansas City Royals look like they are about to get it done. They are putting it on the New York Mets last night, gave them the business. It's 7-1. After game one, you thought the Mets might have a chance to go ahead and sneak one out of Kansas City, and the Royals was like, not Mr. Cueto threw a two-hitter. A devastating last. The Royals offense, which never, ever, ever gets the credit they deserve. The Mets pitchers, you know the Mets pitchers. We bragged about them earlier in the series about how they were all big, strong, throws hard, and strike people out. Well, they're not striking people out this series. Nope. Not this series. Neither Harvey nor the Grom got a lot of people, got a lot of strikeouts. Matter of fact, it was once that I saw on ESPN. In game one, Harvey threw 18 pitches with two strikes. The Royals swung at and missed one of them. On Wednesday, game two, the Grom threw 28 pitches with two strikes, and the Royals didn't swing and miss one of them. That's how on they have been. Then, how about this? Four strikeouts for the Mets pitchers this series. They have five walks, more walks than strikeouts. And we were talking about the other day how devastating they were. I think it was 69-18 the strikeout walk ratio in the postseason. They have been devastating. And then in two games, they flipped it around the Royals. They just get out and go and whipped them last night, 7-1. This series is by no means over, but, man, the Royals look devastating. Going up 2-0 series, they look like, you know, as long as Madison Bumgarner is not there, they're in good shape. That's just my opinion. Anyway, got to go to the NFL. We're doing week 8 midpoint. Well, not really. Yeah, well, kind of, sort of. You know, now they got the 17 weeks. That kind of messes everything up where you kind of get flustered a little bit. But tonight, wait a minute. Let's go to the favorites, the Raiders, going up against the Jets. And, hey, how about these two teams? To me, both of the coaches need to be up for Coach of the Year. Todd Bowles, Del Rio for the Raiders. They both have equaled their win total of last year already. Jets with four. And the Raiders with three. And, both teams really getting after it. But none of them more than the rookie wide receiver out of Alabama that went to the Raiders, Amari Cooper. How about this? First rookie since, yeah, you know this is a long time ago, Mike Ditka. That's right, to have three 100-yard games in his first six games as a rookie. Absolutely fantastic last season. Did anybody see the run after the catch? He just shook the shoes out of that DB. But hey, it's a three man Joe. I told people at the beginning of the season, it's not the triplets, but it's really good. Derek Carr, Latavius Murray, and Amari Cooper, and they got more weapons than that. Man, Michael Crabtree is getting it done. You got Clive Wofford getting it done over there for the Raiders. Hey, it's not bad. The defense is not being just destroyed on all ends of the sector. Hey, Raiders, 3-3. Let's keep it moving. That's all I wanted. Hey, yeah, the Raiders looking really good right now. Hey, it's a big game. If the Raiders can win this, now you're talking about emerging from the ash. Tonight's game, the Dolphins at New England. And you know Brady loves this. That's right. Brady gets to go on TV against the Dolphins, the team he has tortured the most. Did anybody know that? That's right. 11-1 at home against the Dolphins. In the one home game, I believe, was it 2005? I believe 2005. It was last week of the season. He played, I think, a 4.5 and left. That's the game he lost against the Dolphins. 12-1 against the Dolphins. Just blasted them. He's had his career highs in yards in a game against the Dolphins. And touchdowns in a game against the Dolphins. Just has done work against them. But the Dolphins, we all know, they are not the same team. And the main reason they haven't been the same team, they've gotten their run game going in Lamar Miller. And once you get the run game going with Lamar Miller, that means that Tannehill can go play action pass. And that is when he's effective. The Lamar Miller in the last two games have 288 yards from scrimmage. It's a little misleading, though. No, because last week he had 236 in three quarters. They didn't even play the last quarter. So, watch out for the Dolphins right now. They got off to a bad start. But man, they're easily the second best team in the division. I don't want to say what happened to the Bills. They do not look good. Anyway, the Giants at the Saints. What are you putting the Giants up there for? Because I really don't understand this team. I mean, this team has me scratching my head. Hey, the Giants are 4-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're 27th in total offense. Well, that means they got a good defense, right? No, they're 29th in total defense. Now, how in the world are you 4-3 with a 27th ranked offense and a 29th ranked defense? Turnover margin, and you can do great things. At the Saints, their last two games, they have a +5 turnover ratio, and more importantly, how about 5 sacks by Cameron Jordan, just pressuring the quarterback, getting busy out there, and that's how the Saints get their offense on the field, and that's how they get rolling when the defense is taking care of business. You know, that's a big game for both teams. The Giants winning in New Orleans, that would be really big. How about a game that I had marked down a long time ago? So, and now it's like, why am I even talking about this game? The Chargers and the Ravens. What are we doing here? Both teams looking to avoid their fourth straight loss. Four straight losses. Are you kidding me? And we don't have to look anywhere but on the defensive end of the ball. The San Diego Chargers, 28.3 points a game. The Chargers, they're not that bad defensively, but how about this? The Ravens are 26 at 26.9 points a game. The Ravens, that doesn't even compute. That doesn't even make sense. We're talking about the Ravens, defensive-minded, smash-mouth football, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, oh yeah, Ed Reed, oh, so what is going on here? But they are 26 in points allowed right now. Now both teams really struggling. Flacco and Rivers are throwing the ball at will, and they just haven't been able to turn the corner either. They just haven't been able to do it. How about finding a running game, ladies and gentlemen? Good grief. There's no reason you should be throwing the ball. What did Rivers throw the ball that game against Green Bay? 60 with a 63 passes? 6 yards has got the guy with the second most yards in the history of the college football the D1 college football history on their roster, and they're not able to run the football. That's saying something. I'm not going to say anything, but that's saying something about the Chargers and the Ravens. They haven't gotten it done either. Hey, Justin Forsett was devastating last year. He is not this year. You're in Pittsburgh. Well, hey, basically, let's just say it like this. If the Bengals win on Sunday, just go ahead and give it to them, the AFC North Division title, because there's no way the Steelers will catch them. After that, they're already three games behind. This will make them 3.5 games. Oh, excuse me, 2.5. I'm sorry. This will make them 3.5 games behind. All right. The Steelers, they've been killed by Roethlisberger's injury. 2-2. Their offense has been totally different since the injury. First with Michael Vick in there, then with Landry Jones out there. Just hasn't been the same. Meanwhile, the Bengals, they've almost completely healthy. Across the board, almost completely healthy. And how about Andy Dalton? That's right. 116.2 passer rating. Woo! 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Woo! But kryptonite has always been the Steelers. 2-6 versus the Steelers in his NFL career. Come on now. You know that that guy is going to really feel it on Sunday. Being at Pittsburgh needs a victory as well. They're getting really into the playoff race. Right now, they're just 500. That's not too much of a big deal there. And the Steelers, they're going to have to bring the defense because, man, Andy Dalton is working them. In Dallas. Woo-wee! You talk about another must-win game, and I mean for both teams. How about the Seahawks and the Cowboys? The Cowboys, they are falling like a lead balloon. Yes, I know. Romo's not there. Dez not there. Dez may play. It doesn't matter. Without Tony Romo, they're just a totally different team. They've lost their last 6 games without Romo. And since he became the starter in week 8 in 2006, they have been 77-48 with Romo, 6-13 without him. This is another game without him. And you know the Seahawks love to see this. 3-0 this year against teams below 500. If I'm the Seahawks, I am getting the ball to – I'm starting to get the ball to my stars, Marshawn Lynch and Jimmy Graham. They got it to Marshawn Lynch last week. They need to start giving it to Jimmy Graham. They started doing this, and then you can hit the wide receivers once in a while. Hey, I'm still a Jermaine Kearse fan. I think he can play. That's just me. In Denver, we got 2 undefeated teams in the Packers and the Broncos. They are going head to head on Sunday night football, and you know both quarterbacks, they love the defensive coordinator on the other team. What do you mean? Aaron Rodgers, when he sees Wade Phillips, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. When Peyton Manning sees Don Capers, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, a 9-1 record. Ooh-wee. That's all you got to do is get those guys started. Interesting enough, we'll see how much Eddie Lacy gets it going. And for the Broncos, hey, right now it's Rodney Hillman, DJ Anderson on the bench. Ooh, don't know when he's going to get that spot back. Can't give up this spot in the Denver running game. You may not get it back. Then again, ask Rodney Hillman last year. When he lost his spot. Pure and simple. Well, hey, 2 undefeated. 1 will not be on Sunday night. Then we go to the Monday night game. Indianapolis Colts at the undefeated Carolina Panthers. Look here. How much we know the Carolina's undefeated. They have been brilliant. Hey, Cam Newton has been mentioned in MVP talk. Or has it? look here. Newton, by all numbers, they has had the worst start of his career. Career low completion percentage, 55.8%. He had 9 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. His passer rating is 78.4, which is poor. What is going on? Well, there's no reason to get alarmed. No reason to get upset. It's been all about the Panther defense laying the smack down on people. And then you have Cam Newton making the big plays when it matters, drives. You also have Jonathan Stewart running for 5.2 yards per carry. You got the Carolina Panthers. Hey, you don't totally put everything upon the quarterback. And now Newton is able to handle those, the pressures that he wasn't really doing a good job with early on, but now he got that pressure because he felt it the whole time, and now he is ready to rock and roll, and he is rolling. And again, Panthers undefeated. We got, you know, three of the undefeated teams on prime time. And hey, I'm telling you, four of the undefeated teams on prime time. I forgot about tonight's game. So, if you don't watch anything, just watch those games. Man, those teams are really in college football. Ooh-wee. And then it's ooh-wee. Yeah, I know. My two favorite teams are in the same conference. One of them gets going tonight, the North Carolina Tar Heels. They're going to Pittsburgh to play the Panthers. Both have their eyes on the ACC championship game because they are both unbeaten in the ACC Coastal Division. They're one of three unbeaten teams. Hey, UNC, it's the first time since 1997 that they have started 3-0 in the ACC. They have been big time in the second half defensively, and they have only given up 6.4 points a game in the second half. Offensively, they have been scoring 38.4 points a game, tied with the most in the ACC. Somebody better let people know the Tar Heels are very good. I cannot believe they're not ranked. That is unbelievable. Their only loss, granted, was to South Carolina, and they lost that after dominating the whole game. But North Carolina, the Tar Heels, they're really getting it done. Ole Miss going to Auburn. And Ole Miss got a real shot in the arm last week in their shutdown of Texas A&M. One of the real big-time defensive displays all season. Held them without a touchdown. Yeah, I did say A&M. Held them without a touchdown. No Robert Ndiche or Tony Connor. You can arguably say those are their two most important defenders. They were not there. And Ole Miss, you can better believe they remember what happened last year. Remember last year, the 35-31 thriller won by Auburn, mainly because the horse collar on Treadwell, fumble and lost ball. Well, remember that one? Treadwell out for the season. Yeah, that's right. You know Ole Miss remembers that one. That one. Auburn, they have won 29 of the last 39 games, 14 of 16 at home. All right, it's time to see what's going to happen. I still like Ole Miss in this one. I just think they might be the total package in the SEC. Of course, I'm sure the team in Alabama might stay a little bit different. These two teams aren't that bad neither. Georgia versus Florida, going at it at the largest outdoor cocktail party. I believe that's what it is. Is 20 straight years in Jacksonville. Hey, this should be a good one. But you know what, Kyle, Georgia's just turning the big games nowadays. How about this? It's 1909. The Bulldogs are 5-14 versus the top 15. 5-14. We're talking about Georgia here. They're a team that never has to look for talent. They're loaded all the time. Meanwhile, Florida, they haven't been this close to the Eastern Division title since 2008. 2012, and if I remember correctly, that was a 17-9 loss to A&M as well. So watch out in this one. When Jim McElwain, I thought he was a coach of the year. He and Harbaugh would neck and neck the coach of the year. Here we'll see how that works. Now if McElwain can find a way to keep on winning without the service of the Will Grier, my, you got to give him credit. Meanwhile, to Raleigh, North Carolina, you have Clemson going up against NC State. We know going to have to push through after the smackdown they laid to my Kings last week. We'll talk about that in a little while. Anyway, Clemson trying to open the season 8-0 for the second time in 5 seasons, and their main thing is they have punished people on the defensive end of the ball, outscored their last 3 opponents 135-41. They're not giving up any points, and they are turning you over. Hey, how about this? 2.8 yards per carry, but in the ACC, how about 2.2 yards per carry? Woo! That defense has been rolling and dominant. Not even a shred of want to even run the ball on Clemson nowadays. Ask Miami, they're running the ball pretty much after their first drive. We'll talk about that in a little while. Anyway, Oklahoma State going to Lubbock, Texas to see Texas Tech. Hey, how about Oklahoma State? All the stuff that is happening in Oklahoma City with the lady driving it to the parade and all the tragedy that's been going on there. There, the players have been really involved, and the visuals and the such. You got to give that community credit for lifting them up, and the kids say they want to play. They want to give the community some joy, so they're going for their third 8-0 record in school history. And hey, we know they still go by that two quarterback combo: J.W. Walsh, the senior; Mason Rudolph, the sophomore. They get it done. Hey, but another quarterback against it done. About Patrick Mahomes, throwing for over 400 yards per game, 15 touchdowns and one interception at home. He's been big time. DeAndre Washington, real underrated running back in the Big 12, running for over 104 yards per game, which is fourth in the Big 12 play. Yeah, okay, I got to talk about this one. Miami going to Duke, 58-0. That's all anybody could even talk about. That's all anybody even gave me. Actually, I didn't even know it was 58-0. Everybody kept on asking me about the 41-0 at halftime. 41 points, Miami defense, 41 points, 41-0. All of this stuff going on, and you had give up 41 points. I don't care if it's Clemson. I don't care if it's the New England Patriots. 41 points is totally unacceptable. Al Golden got fired on Sunday. Then you had Artie Burns' mother pass away. Then you had Brad Kaya's absence, which is going to be on Saturday. Needless to say, all of this coming, and you're playing the other undefeated team in the ACC Coastal Division. Remember we talked about Carolina and Pitt. Well, Duke is the other one. Wait a minute. But Miami isn't even that far off. Whoa. I know you're not talking about Miami. Yeah. I'm talking about Miami. They got 2 losses, but right now the hard part of their schedule is gone. I know. They got to see Duke. They got to see Carolina. They got to see Pitt. Hey, that's who you want to play. And right now we know that things are about to change in Miami. Are the players going to step up or are they going to step out? Hey, no Kaya. No Kaya going to be there. How do you get the offense going with that? Hey. We know Duke's defense was dominant early on, but hey, we know they got a little chink in the armor. Virginia Tech scored 43 against them. Granted, it was in 4 overtime. The 45-43 4 overtime victory over Virginia Tech last week. Off to Notre Dame. Who's going to Philly? Wait a minute. Ain't no team in Philly. Yes, there is. The Temple Owls. The Temple Owls. That's right. Ranked in the country, their first 7-0 record ever in school history. And hey, are they playing the wrong team or what? Notre Dame coming to town, and to me, I've been saying the wide receiver I like best, Will Fuller. Ooh, he's from the Philly area. You know, Mr. Fuller, 100 yards a game, 21 yards per catch. That's ooh-wee. That Will Fuller. We're a big-time guy. Hey, the Owl defense, hey, they're still eighth in the country for giving up 14.6 points a game, 307 yards per game. That's 14th in the country. Hey, but you know it's going to be rocking in Philadelphia. Yeah, if it ain't, if the Eagles not going to get it done, hey, let's rock and roll for the Temple Owls. I mean, that doesn't even, that's still not computing. And I mean, they weren't even rock and rolling like that when Al Golden got them going up there a couple of years ago. So get them rocking up there in Philly. I think, as a matter of fact, I believe Game Day from ESPN's going to be up there. They're hoo-wee. Anyway, how about this game? Stanford at West Washington State. Ooh-wee, if you're not doing anything late on Saturday night, you better stay up for this one. Both teams are rolling offensively. Washington State, one of three teams, averaging 400 yards plus passing. Hey, everybody's been trying to down the kid, Luke Falk, over there at Washington State. Well, how about this for you guys? Guys, he had the number one completion percentage in the country at 72.9%. But how about this? He's also number one. He's also tied for number one with 43 completions with 20-plus yards, 20 or more yards. Completions. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just thought it was a Deacon Dunk offense. Okay. That's what we're trying to tell you. And then you turn right back around on Stanford. Ooh, they're rocking and rolling offensively as well, but they're doing it a little bit differently. How about Christian McCaffrey? 259.7 all-purpose yards per game. He is on pace to break Barry Sanders' record. That's because of kickoff. Don't get twisted. And then Kevin Hogan, come on, this QBR, 86.8, fourth in the nation this season, 14 touchdowns, especially after the Northwestern game. He has been lights out, and he has been doing it all on a hobbled ankle. That is the college key games in college football this year. Okay, I got the last 2 minutes. I'm going to use it. Last night, the NBA started in most places. Yeah, I know it's starting on Tuesday. I know Chicago beat Cleveland. And we had Detroit take out Atlanta and the Warriors take out the Pelicans. That was on Tuesday. I got that. The last night. Look here. The late game on ESPN, Warriors versus Lakers. I'm not talking about the Warriors and the Lakers. I'm talking about the two central figures in the game. How about Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett? Well, they're always the central figures in just about any game they're talking about, but what about their accomplishments last night? First game with two dudes on opposing teams with 20 years or more in the league. What? What? 20? That's right, KG. This is his 21st year. And this is Kobe's 20th year. Matter of fact, playing with the Lakers, he's played more years with one franchise than anyone in the history of the NBA. And then you got KG. He's played 21 years, and he is back with the Minnesota Timberwolves, building them up. The Timberwolves, of course, won last night. We're not going to go there. Don't get me started on the Lakers and how they have one go-to guy. And don't get me started on the whole D'Angelo Russell, Jahlil Okafor thing again. You really want to make me hot there. Jahlil Okafor was scoring 26 points last night, and D'Angelo Russell, I don't even remember. Remember, now you have these two guys. Remember them? They're like been the faces of the league for 20 years, and you're still and you still have people trying to raise the age limit. NBA, will you please stop being idiots? Let them come out of high school, and then if they go to college, have them go for at least 2 years. That's the only fair thing to do, NBA. Can you please look out for the players for one time in your life? Well, I should see you Monday. If the time changes, I'll let you know. Toodaloo, and bye-bye.